This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock, and hopefully you're off work on a Friday as cook-off. That's cook-off. Cookout is getting started as the rodeo gets going. Hopefully you're out having a good time. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a little bit later on. Hey, Moneybags had it last night now. Moneybags had it last night now.
That turns me on.
Was that 5 for 5 for you or 4 for 4?
4 for 4. Perfect.
Not a going with the live. 5 for 4 for 4 as he got down with it. So we'll see if he can make a little bit more money, close the day out. He was down to 53% for the week until going into last night, but he stepped up big time. So we'll see if T-Mill can make you some money on T-Mill's best bets a little bit later on. But here is the latest. The latest is it is 5 o'clock, and the Astros were on the diamond in Florida again, but this time was a little bigger than others because the much, much anticipated debut of Jose Altuve in left field, his new position happened. We talked to Sean Pendergast earlier. If you missed it, 3:40. You can go back and listen to that. But Altuve played, and he played 6 innings in left field, and not a damn thing came his way. Here is Jose Altuve himself speaking of his first day.
I didn't get any ball, not a single fly ball or ground ball or land drive, but it was good to be there.
You feel like you got anything out of it?
I felt like I was expecting a fly ball every ball. It was good to know your position, get to see, where the center field is playing and all the stuff, but hopefully next game is going to be more action.
Was that disappointing at all, just not to get tested?
Right, yeah, for sure. I was expecting, one of those really high fly balls, a land drive or something, but like I said, maybe next game we got it.
All right, yeah, nothing came his way. That's what Sean expressed to us. That no ground ball. Hell, I wonder if a foul ball ever came his way. I mean, nothing.
Hey, they're going to mess around, and Altuve's going to get bored out there and say, no, I ain't doing this, man. Put me back on the infield where I can at least get a little. At least I can throw the damn ball around the horn.
Yeah. He's out there. He went out there to go warm
out
up
there
his
bored
arm.
Bored as hell.
Up there warming up his arm before the thing started. So, damn, 6 innings.
I couldn't have done that. I'm thinking about it now. I was an infielder. I couldn't have done the outfield. I'd get bored as hell out there by myself.
I was a second baseman. I got to be in there
in the mix where I can talk to folks and touch leather every now and then.
You talk to the people in the stands.
That damn outfield, it gets lonely out there. I bet that is an adjustment for old Altuve.
I remember Manny used to go out there and just go take a pee break up in there, and he walked through the wall over there in Fenway and just go use the bathroom and chill out there.
Oh, well, Altuve is usually kind of chatty there in the middle infield.
Yeah,
out there by himself.
He's probably out there talking to himself.
I was at a game of Minute Maid one time, and I was like probably 17, 18. It had to be before that, younger. Anyway, Michael Bourne was out in center field playing for the Astros. And mid-game, mid-inning, I'm walking around the outfield out there at Minute Maid. I'm sorry, Daikin now. and Michael Bourne is looking straight up at the stands where the fans are, and he's having a full-fledged conversation with, I believe it was like his cousin or something.
Oh, his cousin came out.
But like between pitches, I mean, this guy's yelling down to him like, hey, you coming over after the game? Like, come to the house? And Michael
well,
Bourne,
making plans for afterwards.
Straight up, Michael Bourne's turned around looking up. Yeah, I think we're going to get out there. I'll let you know, though. You know, I got to talk to so-and-so. It was wild.
I'll be asking for some nachos. He owed a couple of nachos and peppers. I have cheese all on my jersey and stuff. But we didn't see nothing. But clearly we are going to see more of that. But they tried it. Ain't no lack of trying, Clint. Six innings. They put him out there six innings.
Put him out there. What was he, 0-for-3 at the plate?
Yeah, nobody even gave a damn about
what he did. Moved the outfield and can't swing the stick. What the hell's going on here,
too? Yeah, they didn't give him a rip. But Paredes, the person, one of the people who was kind of pushing him out there, Clint, he was 2-for-3. He went deep, hit a home run, had a couple of RBIs, RBI single as well in this game. He did well. I think, to me, everybody was talking about Altuve, and obviously that made a lot of sense. But we got our chance to see Hunter Brown for the first time. And he is going to be an absolute vital piece of this team. He has to, at least to me, in my opinion, for this team to really be in the hunt. It feels like to me he has to at least pitch to the level he did last year or even go ahead and take a step further than he did last year. And he was good. Two innings, no runs. Had a little trouble, as Sean said. Walked a couple of guys, walked a guy, struck out a couple. But he looked good his first time out. But that's another guy they're going to have to really rely upon this year.
I'm real confident with Hunter Brown. I'm real confident in Hunter Brown. I did not see him pitch today. But I did listen to. There's a video out of his remarks afterwards from the locker room, and he just seems like a dude that's mature beyond his years, for what it's worth. And he just seems like a dude that is a true pro. And I just believe in the dude. I got confidence in the guy. Now he may get me. But I feel like it's we're gonna be okay with him and him and Robert, top two.
You should, man. I mean, it was a long, long sample size of him towards. It felt like May on June, maybe June on, where he was clearly front of the rotation type guy.
Yeah,
I feel like you kind of got an idea what you're gonna get out of Framber. For the entirety of the year, there are going to be some moments that he frustrates you, as we talked earlier this week, but you got a feeling what you're going to get. But you talk about him, June, July, August, September, like he was front of the rotation worthy. You feel like you got it. You definitely feel like you got as good a 1-2 punch as anybody in the division, but you feel pretty good about your 1-2 punch if those guys pitch to the level that they have. And by the way, Abreu, good run in there, got an inning in, and then Forrest Whitley again, one inning, no earned runs, got in, got out.
Oh, Forrest coming
I'm
in there.
A real boy.
Oh, Forrest going to do some work, huh?
He lives. Yeah, you're good for Forrest, man. I'm happy.
If anybody deserves a good year, it's him, man.
When you say good, define good.
Just get in the league, man.
Like getting to the mound.
Stay in the bigs for a while and for a year and contribute a bit and feel good about yourself, man. He's been beat down for about 42 years.
I know he's been beat down, but I mean
I just want to see something good happen for the young man.
I would too. And for him and others in that bullpen, it's open. It's damn sure open in front of
opportunities
trying to get to Abreu and Hader. We'll see if he's able to.
One of those really high fly balls.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the big story of the combine, Matt Stafford. He was connected with many, many teams, Clint, and that thing is over. Today, the Rams and Matt Stafford come together and restructured his deal, and he is going to stay with the Rams. They have already signed their left tackle, who was potentially a free agent or going to be on the market. They bring him back in on a 3-year deal. And Clint, this is one where Matt Stafford, according to reports and according to reports from Jordan Schultz of Fox, this is him turning down more money and more guarantees and more years with other teams. The Raiders and the Giants made aggressive financial offers to Matt Stafford, including multi-year deals with significant guarantees, and the Rams were going to fall short of those numbers. But they remain together. As this in this report, it also says that without relocating his family, it gives him the best chance to win a Super Bowl. Another Super Bowl is staying with L.A. So I'll be honest, Clint, you are around this league. You've been in the league. You've covered the league. Tyler, you've been covering the league as well. You've watched the league. I am a bit surprised, Clint. We don't normally see this get this public and player go find yourself a chance to go and play and then find said teams that agree to give him more money and better deals. And what happens is he ends up going back to the team that that was going to let him ride. That one you don't normally see. I thought he was good as gone from the Rams.
I did too. I did too. I thought the Rams were ready to move on. Look, it's nothing like letting somebody go out there and flirt and date and then tell them that you want to keep this thing rocking and rolling. So the Rams did it, though. I mean, I'm interested to see. The reports are that the offers from the Giants and the Raiders are somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 years for $90 to $100 million. So you're knocking on $40 to $45 to $50 million a year over a two-year period. I'm interested to see what L.A. ended up keeping him in L.A. for.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, it sounds like he took a team-friendly deal, but I wonder what that team-friendly deal looks like.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision that he made there. I agree with it. To me, would you say his age? Was he 38, something like that?
Yeah,
coming to
girl.
The end, I think for him, as you know, man, it is hard, especially at the end. I would imagine to lose. I'd imagine that was a hard year for an Aaron Rodgers. To lose and to be around people that don't have it all together, like especially if you've been used to it, right? And he has seen both sides of it, and you know you got Sean McVay that you're on the same page with, and you got a chance. It's hard to leave that, even if it is some more money there. Like I can completely understand.
Well, it's probably hard to leave it too if you've already played in Detroit and experienced.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. I don't mean to keep messing on Detroit, but the truth of the matter is he's already been in a dysfunctional organization. He's already been in a situation where he wasn't winning many football games. He's already been in a city that I would think from a quality of life pales in comparison to the way he can live in L.A. Being from Highland Park, I mean, let's be honest, he never wanted, even before he made the money, wanted for much. So, I'm shocked that the Rams, turned back and made a deal.
All right, so that's the latest there. As a big story of the week, where is Matt Stafford going to go? Well, he's going to stay right at home in L.A.
5 o'clock fire.
And with that, that means other teams need to change course of what their plans are. And now reports are that the New York Giants, who were involved, probably the biggest name we started to hear in terms of aggressiveness towards trying to acquire Matt Stafford, they are discussing veteran quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Fresh out of the punch of karma.
Him just jumping over locker rooms and going from the Jets to the Giants. And I know Aaron wants to start if he plays, and we'll see what kind of options he has there. This doesn't sound like a good thought to me for Aaron Rodgers or the Giants for this partnership to come together. If that's the route they're going to go.
Yeah, I don't. Again, man, I just don't know how Aaron Rodgers looks at that as a situation that he wants to get into. I know
especially leaving the one he just left.
Yeah, you outlined there. I mean, there is, from a talent perspective, there's some pieces in New York where you could see some things coming together, especially if you get the quarterback right. And I'm one that I believe Aaron Rodgers can still play. I mean, again, it goes back to the Aaron Rodgers antics, right? I mean, is he going to be completely bought in, and is he going to take this thing seriously, and is it going to be more of the trips to Egypt and the off the field stuff that again is like you just got to understand who you are. And if fair or foul, like Aaron Rodgers is going to get picked apart, so you can't miss mandatory stuff to go to Egypt. Like, you just can't. If you're not going to be taken serious, and eventually it's going to leak into the organization, and it's going to be problems the minute you don't play lights out. And let's be honest, these organizations that you're entertaining, it's going to be hard for you to play lights out at your age with the dysfunction that is.
Is this what
the darkness?
Is this what the Giants got to do, though? Is this what, for I'm talking about Daboll, the GM, them to keep their gigs? It feels like they are. You need to have a good year or you're going to get fired. And do they need to get a veteran to win games? Right? Like, it feels like
I think they need to get a veteran to win games. But more importantly, I think what they have to do is they have to draft a guy and show a clear plan of how do we get that guy ready to play. And again, I know Aaron and Aaron's past. He's been one that, hey, man, I ain't going to be Jordan Love's, you know, mentor. I'm not here to help him. But if Aaron Rodgers is playing and he's playing good football and he's in your system, that in itself will be a healthier environment for a young quarterback to come up in, right? The thought of like right now the Giants, they got Tommy DeVito as the only quarterback on their roster under contract, right? They got an exclusive rights free agent deal with Tommy DeVito. I mean, that's going to be dysfunction on top of dysfunction on top of dysfunction. And in the background, you're going to be trying to figure out when this young quarterback is ready to play. Meanwhile, everything on the field is an absolute mess, right? I mean, your best bet is to try to iron out all the wrinkles on the field the best that you can and put a product out there that this young guy that you draft, number 3 overall, can look at and go, yeah, okay, I see how that concept works. I see how this concept works. I see how you want me to work as a pro. And then whenever time comes, boom, you plug him into a somewhat healthy situation. Tommy DeVito in New York is not going to be a healthy situation.
They feel much more like Chicago when Matt Nagy was there, and they're sitting there, all right, do we draft a quarterback or do we get, you know, a veteran because our jobs are on the line. Yeah, now, they drafted Fields and it didn't go well and they got fired anyway. And I just because Giants are obviously sitting there where they could get one of the quarterbacks.
Well, that's why if I'm ownership, Ron, I would rather see them. I'd say sign your veteran, whoever it may be.
But I want to get.
And we'll draft this guy and decide. Like, the worst case scenario is coach and GM, everything's dysfunctional. Coach and GM are dead men walking, and they're forcing a young quarterback out there to play. Like, that, nobody wins in that situation, in that scenario. So I would think that if I'm ownership and I want to get this thing right, I would think that signing a veteran, whether it's Sam Darnold or Aaron Rodgers or somebody to push out there, and hopefully you can get some level of health rolling here and then let the young guy that you draft come along as he develops.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. But Aaron Rodgers could just stay in New York. We'll see if that happens.
Don't have to move.
Yeah, don't have to move. No, same place. All right, coming up, C.J. Stroud. We've heard a lot. I heard a lot about him and his play and a lot of the stuff around him. One thing that I think we need to discuss with C.J. Stroud going into this offseason is this. We'll do that coming up next.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to the drive.
What's so funny?
This guy.
I want to laugh.
This guy.
Chatting it up in here, man.
Chatting it up with our great cleaning staff here, as he does every time. And it's a
solid scent, man.
Solid scent. A bit of a language barrier that is improving.
But a good musk.
Does the scent hit you as hard as it does me?
Yeah, it hits me. I walk past her often out there.
I mean, it's a strong, whew.
She
in a good way.
She is so happy all the time.
She is.
Fantastic mood, and why not?
She always comes in the studio like she's been standing out there talking about us or something. Like there's something. She's been hiding or something.
I know she talk about me.
She always got a big old smile on her face when she opens this door.
I Lucy says.
Hola.
That nasty bastard. All right.
They'll warm up to it.
Now that, Clint, if I know CJ. I know CJ, if he read a lot of what the text line and YouTube and Twitch sends in over the year, I'm certain CJ would look at this and be like, all right, yeah, okay. But damn it, there's some things y'all missing that I need to improve on. There's some things that I didn't get right. There's some things that I did differently in a negative way from year one to year two. And I know he's probably watched film already, Clint, of games from last year and whoever he works with, his staff, and is already in the lab or on the field, so to speak, to try to improve and fix those things. And that's the conversation I'm interested in having, Clint, is, yes, the offensive line stunk and really stunted his growth throughout year two. Yes, there were a lot of injuries. Yes, clearly that tyrant that he had to deal with, I guess clearly from reports we're hearing, Bobby Slowick.
Anybody else's fingers hurt?
Yeah, how? Clearly there was issues between those two. And that didn't go smooth in year two. Hell, maybe it was year one, two was just hit. But I am certain he sees things that are under his control that he knows that he wants to come back in year three and not have those as problems. What are some of those? I know there are some things in my mind that I looked and watched and saw and were like, dang, man, that to me is a real difference to me that he could have controlled from year one to year two. But for you, what do you see out there?
Well, look, I think there's a few things, Ron, and I think one is something that C.J. Stroud needs to work on every offseason just to take to stay on top of his game, and that's just he is a heavier-legged, heavy-footed, slew-footed guy that if he doesn't work the micro-movements, the quick-twitch movements, the quarterback-specific movements within the pocket and doesn't grind on them in the offseason as well as in the regular season, then you're going to see him have issues that some of quarterbacks don't. We talk Jaden Daniels a lot. Like Jaden Daniels, he needs to work that stuff, but he's always going to have the quick twitch. He's always going to have that extra step. He's always going to have the ability to micro move and make guys miss. Like, that's not necessarily CJ's strong suit. And hell, we've heard him talk about that's what he's working on consistently throughout the offseason. So first and foremost, just to survive in the NFL, you got to know what your weaknesses are. And C.J. Stroud doesn't have many, but that's one of them. So physically, he's got to be grinding on those on a daily basis. By the way, all of this stuff is just as big a responsibility for Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor and anybody else that's responsible for C.J. Stroud. But mechanics, specifically the footwork side of things, needs to be grinded on, not just hit on and freshened up, and it needs to be grinded on constantly with C.J. Stroud, or you're going to start the camp slow, or you're going to start the season slow. Now, if we jump into things that I think were in the film that we saw in his play this year, specifically, right, I think he has to be training. Again, this is tied to the footwork and tied to the mechanics, but he has to be training in a chaotic atmosphere, in a chaotic space, in a chaotic pocket. Otherwise, like the luxury that these guys have at the NFL level is if C.J. Stroud wants to plan to work mechanics and techniques Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Gerard Johnson or whoever's legally can be out there with him, he has access to 10 or 12 people that'll come out there and beat him with pads while he moves in the pocket and makes throws. It was clear this year. The pressure that he was under affected his ability to be that ball placement specialist that he so eloquently labeled himself when he came out in the draft 2 years ago. Like that, hopefully he doesn't deal with the same level of pressure, Ron, but the truth of the matter is the greats in this league, they weather the storm and don't lose their accuracy and don't lose their ability to make game-changing type plays when they're getting hit like that. If he plays 10 seasons in Houston, five of them, he's going to get hit a lot. He's not going to always have a perfect atmosphere around him. So working in a chaotic space in the offseason, I mean, week to week and grinding on it, I think is very, very important for C.J. Stroud, because when those moments come, you can't lose your one superpower, which is being unbelievably accurate to all levels of the field under pressure. Like, that can't leave you in the most critical moments when you're under pressure. And so they've got to work that day in, day out. You can't wake up in camp and go, all right, man, let's get this. Let's get the offensive lineman over here. Yeah. Let's get some full speed reps in a team type app. No, it's too late at that point. So he's got to train in that chaotic space. And I think the last one is clearly the most important. Like, he's got whatever this offense is going to be. And I don't give a damn whose fault it was last year with all the communication issues and all the pressures. Don't care. Doesn't matter anymore. Let's move forward. C.J. Stroud has to be – he has to have the ability to handle an NFL offense and have complete command of it.
God bless, brother.
He's got to be able to, one, have the know-how, and two, have the guts to go, no. Whoever the center is, redirect. The mic is 45. Slide this thing left, and whoever's over here to my right, Debo Samuel, you're hot off that nickel defender. Let's go. Snap the football. Like, he's got to have.
You just threw it, Debo.
I did. It turns me on a bit. Like we can't keep talking about last year was this fault, that fault. We got to have a center that can. No, the reality of it is, I don't care who's young. I don't care who can or can't communicate. C.J. Stroud should trump it all. He should be the guy that ultimately says, I got this. Y'all do what the hell I'm telling you to do, and we're going to be all right. C.J.'s got to be able to take control and command of this offense to that degree.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would imagine that may be a change coaching staff. Like the
I hope. Decisions. I hope. I hope. Yeah.
You think he's ready for that?
Boy, I would think so. CJ is he has been a high-level processor. We've seen him, even this year when he was under a lot of pressure at times, I mean, there was some elite processing. Like, there was some stuff going on that most second-year guys don't do. I mean, his ability to win by processing at a high level is as good as a lot of vets in this league. Now, it was inconsistent this season. But it's impressive. I would be shocked if he doesn't have the ability to get up there, direct traffic, and snap it and roll. I would be surprised.
Yeah. As I said to you, man, my big thing for me was I watched him from year one to year two, and you would think it would be the reverse of what we saw.
Yeah.
Like, the big thing for me was, man, consistently just take what the defense gives you. Just take what it gives you, and too many times it would go from either, like, things that seem small but get you off schedule, which ultimately become a big thing, where it goes from second and 10 when it could have been first and five or second and five and a broken tackle could have been more, or interceptions or turnovers to me. So that's the big thing. Year two, which is weird that it was reverse of year one, that take what they give you, especially when you should know by the middle of the season, maybe the Bears game, that was game two, maybe 3 or 4 weeks in, you knew, like, this offensive line is struggling, and I got to help them and help myself, and I can't just hold the thing. And, you know, I want to see him get better about that decision-making under stress and what to do of like, yo, take what they give me so I don't put our offense in a rough place. So that to me were the big changes there. All right, let's make people look cash. Coming up a little bit later on, T Mills best bet, and the big story of the day with the Astros. We'll talk about that and finish that off as we finish up here right here live on the Drive.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner. Thank you so much.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into the drive. Hopefully, everybody is. What's this? This feels like some. And I understand Tyler thought it'd be more important to go hang out with his wife or something. But 72, man, this feels like a good patio.
Oh yeah,
it's like get out there. I'm ready to wreck it too, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to get me a margarita. I know I shouldn't.
Oh, the margarita ain't gonna hurt you, man.
It probably will.
You'll be all right.
I can't remember the last time we went and got some drinks after the show.
Yeah, man.
You've been MIA, man.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It has been.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that Rockets game too, huh, boys?
We tried. 3 years for me.
We tried.
We've only sent y'all 8 games for options.
We tried 3 times to get you to go out. You just...
Yeah.
You're like, oh, sugar.
Super believable.
We got Tyler and Megan's Christmas card, which they went to the next step and made theirs a magnet. And we got
She didn't mean to do that, which is funny. That's a whole nother story. Go ahead.
We got it on the fridge. It's the only Christmas card that's still out. We have another wall, which we affectionately call the Wall of White.
I forgot about that.
We did it again, guys.
That's what the whites used to do.
Another year of only Christmas cards from white folks. But Tyler's, we put it on the fridge. And Lauren, my daughter, shout out to Lauren, by the way, big game last night. Lauren called Eight U, baby. Little softball caught her a pop fly.
At a girl, Lauren.
Baby. There you go.
At a girl.
That's right. I see you, Dubon, old pop fly gal.
Yeah. Too bad the first base coach was really in tune. Back.
Okay, wait, Chris Berman, huh?
Yeah, she went 2 for 3. Had a nice little double in the outfield. But Lauren came up to the fridge. She goes, "Dad," and that's how she talks. "Dad, which one's Nala?"
Oh, I love that. He better have shown you, Lauren.
Did you know?
Oh no, I don't.
What?
I know. I know which one is Sugar. But I didn't have Nala. I said, it's got to be one of these other ones.
Holly and Nala are a toss-up.
It's got to be one of these. I didn't have it. I said, good God.
That's my girl.
Right here. It was being held up. You were holding up somebody's art project. It's what you were holding up.
Your daughter was asking about my daughter. That's sweet.
Yeah, well.
Your daughter probably doesn't need her own turds, though.
Not yet. No, not yet. No, man.
Damn it, no. It was funny.
Hey, get out there. If you're out there, go get you a nice little drink. 72 degrees. The patio probably wind a little blowing a little bit. Your little outdoor time. Have a good time out there, and do your thing. Coming up behind us, as you know, a little Texans All Access. Greg Cosell saw him down. And Radio Row, and one of the best when it comes to is in particular quarterback conversation and talk. But he will join the fellas tonight, and they'll look at the Texans defense as well. Vandy and John Harris will have you at 6 o'clock as soon as we get done. And then start your weekend off right. Listen a little live and local, 7 to 11. Area 45, Bajani Creighton. I already saw Santiago walk through with a real focused look, like he ain't playing no games on a Friday night. So that's coming up behind us, and we'll make you a little money coming up here with T-Mill's Best Bets. I want to come clean, and I know it's probably not fair. My biggest issue with with Jose Altuve, who, by the way, today, if you missed it, played 6 innings in left field, and the baseball god said no. No ball coming close to you. Didn't anything get hit to him? As he said, no fly ball, no line drive, no ground ball, no nothing. I got to be honest, my biggest thing, and it came to pass today when I'm watching videos, is he just don't look right out there.
Little fella in left?
It just looks weird. I saw some people texting this earlier. No, I don't think it's that a... It looks like they brought a kid out of the stands and put him back out there in left field. I'm not disrespecting like that. It don't look like that. No, it just looks like you look out there and you said, oh, that guy's a second baseman. That guy's a middle infielder. It just looks funky out there to see him see him out there. When I saw him run out there and I was just like, man, where the hell's he going? The whole time. I know it's not fair and I know it shouldn't mean anything of what his performance will be, but that for me. That's my biggest hangup. Now the arm thing, we'll see. But that's my biggest hangup. It's just the way he just don't look right out there.
Well, I think not even talking about just the size, obviously, of the left fielder and the glove. I mean, looking like a little leaguer out there with a big monstrous glove. Like just seeing Altuve go anywhere but directly to second base out of the dugout is going to be weird for most folks.
I feel like some people have all. I feel like more people have adjusted or ready for.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've adjusted in a major way. At first, I was like, "Ain't no way in hell."
Well, I mean, but now you've been we've been forced to adjust because they are dead. They're serious, not just serious. We go from thinking, "All right, maybe this is because Bregman's here and trying to get Bregman."
Right.
Then to all right, man. Hey, man, we'll play some games out here. We had Will Conkle on that one time. We'll play some games out here and be a way to kind of get him out of second base to, nah, man, that's your left fielder right there, Jack. That's your guy. So, yeah, we've adjusted. I'm just not adjusted to seeing that Joker out there. That is a weird, weird sight. But I have, you know what I have come around to though, fellas, and I'm sure Tyler's already here, is I don't think he's going to be a train wreck defensively.
No.
I don't think that. I think he'll be fine. I don't think he'll be a train wreck. And it is hard for me to get to a space, Clint, where I see and be like, all right, hey, he just can't play out there.
Right.
It's killing the team that he can't. Now, I don't think he's going to be a gold glover. I don't think he's going to be great or anything, but I think he will make 90%+ of the plays that he's supposed to make.
He'll be great with Jake over in center. And GC, yeah, I'm with you. I knew I'd get a little reaction out of you there, bud.
I just want that's my thing. Is stop saying stuff like that, man.
I agree. I mean, setting the kid up to fail.
Let's just stop. Stop saying stuff like, hey, man. Like Jake's gonna be Kelly Lee from Bad News Bears, and he's calling off everything like he's got, right. Like he's got all of that. I don't think he's gonna butcher.
I don't think he's gonna be a mess. In fact, I think the speed can actually, assuming he can stay healthy, I think the speed is gonna be fun to watch. My only concern, if you will, is, you know, I think deep fly ball to left, there's a chance the guy at first is gonna take second. Like I wonder if I am I overthinking that? Am I, because I'm dead ass serious, by the way, I'm not joking. Like balls hit to the warning track with a guy at first base, somebody's gonna take second. Like that is that, does that become a problem? Is the arm issue that big of a deal? Now am that, I crazy right, to think right. that?
That could be the train wreck. That or not the train wreck but the part, short, but that could be the
shortcoming. Like that's the issue, yeah.
Like, yeah, man, we're gonna take two.
Well, a guy at first base, a deep fly ball and into the corner or at the warning track, and a guy at first takes second. Maybe I'm crazy, and that's never going to happen no matter who's playing left field, but that's the concern is, do we start giving up free bases because we're aggressive first to thirds,
like hard, because they're already going to do it to Jake. So aggressive first to thirds, potentially. We'll see. Maybe the arm is – that's my thing is – We've seen him. I distinctly remember him just airmailing everybody against Seattle on a cutoff play, trying to throw it to third and throw it into the stands. I just remember that from a couple years ago. So we'll see. All right, let's do the thing. Let's make a little cash. Let's make a little money. And baby, he's hot now. He was at 53% going into yesterday, and he tries to stay over 60%, but then he went 100% last night, 4-for-4 after coming off of two straight days of going 2-for-5, 4-for-4, and now he's hot, folks. Now he's going to try to make a little bit of money. He's so hot, he's getting four out there tonight.
Yeah.
Getting four out there. All right, go ahead.
That's right. I got five best bets for you.
Can I be honest about something real quick?
Please.
I am not 100% sure, and I feel like this is going to come out stupid. I'm not 100% sure what money line.
It means you just pick them to win outright.
Oh, is this outright?
But the odds are different for each one.
Say outright.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Money line. Got it now. All right.
Yeah, man. No shame. But I do have five. I have five NBA bets for you on a Friday after going 4-for-4 last night. Once again, as always, if you miss any of these, because I list them quick, go to my Twitter, at TMillRealDeal, because I post them there too. Five best bets. First, I got an under. Like I've been telling y'all, these over-unders might be where I've been best here lately. So under tonight between the T-Wolves and the Jazz, under 226.5.
No Anthony Edwards, nice.
Yes, that is correct. Suspended one game. Next, I got the Atlanta Hawks +12 versus the Thunder. The Thunder have been choking lately, just completely crumbling all on their own. I like Atlanta +12. Then I got the Lakers money line tonight. Like those odds a lot, +170 versus their the other LA squad, the Clippers. Everything all right?
Yeah. Okay.
Then I got real quick two player props. Trae Young with that Hawks team, I took +12 over 24.5 points tonight for him. He's going to need to do it if the Hawks are going to be close against the Thunder. And then James Harden, the turd himself, James Harden, as he faces off against the Lakers, under 22.5 points for James. Might be my favorite one of the night. What do y'all like or what do you don't?
The money line one I'm a little nervous about because I don't know who's all going to play for the Lakers. I don't know if they're on the second of a back-to-back, so I don't know if LeBron and Luka are going to play. I know Rui is out. They're both game-time decisions, so I don't know about that one. I like the Trae Young one. That'll be good. I don't know about Oklahoma City. At some point, I really like the Wolves one. As I said, no Anthony Edwards. But that Hawks one, yes, you're right. They blew that 25-point lead against the Timberwolves.
Cost me a parlay.
And they somehow lost to the Nets. I don't know how that happened. They had a close one against the Nets. I don't know, boy. I think they might get the Hawks. The Hawks feel like they've been playing. They feel like a real, real close to Cancun type team.
I'd go with Isaiah Hartenstein.
For what?
Over points.
Just over points. Okay, I didn't know.
That's what you do.
All right. See if Kansas pisses me off tomorrow. All right, Clint. Great job today, as always. Tyler, great job. I am Ron the Show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Ron, it never...
listen here, Meredith.
I mean, I wish I had her new address. I'd have sent it to her in the mail. I wish you could have seen my... I had zero clue until the moment that thing started vibrating.
It was circular?
It was black, and it was...
She had a black one. I knew it.
It was like a little torpedo. Yeah, it was black, but black but white. It was a black color, but the black style of a white one.
All right, this is
have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.